Welcome in, Braves Today, bravestoday.com. It's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, use promo code BRAVES, get your 10% off. He is Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor, and it has just been announced as we speak that the opening day starter has been announced. And got a couple of questions for you, Lindsey. Okay. And number one is, who is it? And number two, already know the answer. So does this mean that one of the other pitchers is definitely not getting re-signed next year?
So it is Spencer Strider. He is the opening day starter for the Braves for game one in Philadelphia against the Phillies and Zach Wheeler. And a lot of people, the first place they went to was like, what does this mean for Fried?
I did. That was me. Yeah.
First thing, Justin Toscano of the AJC kind of had a thing. This is nothing against Max Fried, right? And I wrote this story a couple weeks ago about who is the opening day starter, because Fried's done the last three. You know how Snit likes to defer to the veterans and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a combination of things. So one, if you look at the schedule, you play on Thursday, you're off on Friday, and you play on Saturday. Strider's going to come into that game on one additional day of rest. Mm-hmm. Fried would be on normal rest to make that start. So if you gave it to Fried, Strider doesn't pitch for two more days, and so he'd be on regular rest plus 3 days, which is kind of an awkward amount of time to give him. And then two, he led the league in strikeouts last year. I mean, he had a really, really good year, and it's hard to look at the year he had last year, the spring that he's had this year, where
he literally
has not allowed an earned run, and say, yeah, we're not going to pick that guy as the opening day starter.
It's kind of funny, because those that have asked, and I get the rest thing, and I still think that a whole lot more thought went into it. I think the reason they got it set up, the days they have set up throughout the spring, I'm still not so sure that this wasn't the case because of last year's resume going into the year. It's just something that didn't get talked about. And Snit was not going to make a comment 3 weeks ago about who the opening day starter was. But you and I have talked about this off the pod, where it's got to be Strider, right? Especially with the spring that he's having. It made it even more of a yes because of that.
Yeah, like it's hard to look at. And I don't even, off the top of my head, I don't even know what Max Fried did in spring. But like, it's just hard to look at Spencer Strider throwing 18 and two-thirds innings in spring so far without a run allowed. Like, it's happened, this is the third time it's happened since 2006, and the other two were Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw. It's not a bad group to be in, right?
That's good group. A couple of guys that are Cy Young guys. I mean, that's not that bad of a company to be hanging out in.
It's really not a bad company to be hanging out in. And if you look at, I mean, those are really good guys. I know that 2018 wasn't a winning year for Kershaw. He didn't win it in 2018. Yeah. Verlander didn't win it in 14, but they were both there in the vicinity of the race. And so it's, again, spring training doesn't matter, but at the same time, it's hard to argue with a sample size that big that is that absurd. And so, yeah, give it to Spencer Strider. The thing that's interesting too, and I put this in the article when we wrote this whole thing up, is, I'm trying to pull it up real quick, is Spencer Strider has really interesting statistics against the Phillies, right? So he's faced them 11 times in his career, 8 in the regular season, 3 in the postseason. In his 8 regular season matchups, the first one was a relief appearance, and then he has 7 starts. In 8 regular season appearances, he's 8-0 with a 1.90 ERA. Not only did we win every game, he got the win every time. And so it's like, okay, you want him facing Philadelphia as much as possible. In the postseason, he's faced them 3 times. He's 0-3 with an ERA of 5.40, which is like, it sucks. And Philly fans are going to be all in our comments about this.
I was going to say, you just asking Philly, for Philly, Philly fans Philly to
fans
double
are
going to
be in this. Yeah.
Oh.
But it's funny, because Strider getting the job means he breaks Fried's streak of 3 straight. Zach Wheeler, his first career opening day start, which is hard to believe, which means he breaks the streak of Aaron Nola starting 6 in a row for Philadelphia. So kind of interesting how that works, but just find it really funny that both of those things are happening for the first time for these teams in the same season.
Does I know that you said it at the beginning, but let's readdress the Freed situation here. Does this do we need to read anything into this as far as Freed 1 foot out the door, maybe already looking somewhere during free agency? Or, you know, is this just something that clearly I think Freed even would recognize that the better of the two pitchers right now is Spencer Strider. So honestly, let me just give my take on it. I think people make way too much over opening day starters in the beginning. It's 162 games. I don't really care who the opening day starter is. I care who's on the mound for the World Series in the final game of the series. That's what I care about. And so I don't think anything of it, but man, there are a lot of people, because you said their first place in their head to go was this means something on Freed. But honestly, I do wonder if Freed is okay with it, or if something in the back of his head is like, okay, the writing's on the wall. Clearly, they're looking at moving on.
So, I mean, Toscano kind of said in his tweet, like, it's nothing against Max Freed. If the Braves aren't spurning Max Freed, it doesn't mean he's gone. I would assume Max Freed is fine. He really seems like the kind of guy that focuses on right now what he can control, focuses on the season, focuses on getting ready. He's pitched less in spring than Strider has. No one's looked as good as Strider in spring. I'm not going to say Freed's looked bad, but no one's looked as good as Strider in spring.
No.
And I do think it makes a lot of just straight baseball sense based on the rest to let Strider start game one so he's not pitching on a way too much rest for game two. The other side effect of this is you have a 6-game road trip to start the year because you're in Philly, then you go to the White Sox, and then you come home. So game seven is the home opener. Max Fried would then be on track to start the home opener for Atlanta. He'd start on Saturday, and then the next week on Friday, he'd get one additional day of rest, which means he'd get an additional day of rest on both of his first two starts. But he would get to start the home opener in what could theoretically be his final season in Atlanta. And so, like you, I don't really care too much about the opening day start versus who starts game one of the postseason or the World Series or whatever.
Right.
I will point out, and granted some of that was because of injury, but Spencer Strider started game one in the NLDS last year. And so, I mean, he's got that. He had the better 2023. This makes a lot of sense from a lot of different angles. And I think if anybody tells you definitively that this is something that the Braves are doing to push Freed out of the way or to spurn Freed in any way, I think they're making stuff up. This is what makes the most baseball sense. This is what makes the most from an organization that just made a point of saying they put Forrest Wall on the opening day roster to reward what he did in spring.
Correct.
It makes a lot of sense that this is something that they're doing to reward Spencer Strider for the dominance he had in 2023, as well as how he came in having deliberately worked to get better for 2024.
I completely agree. And as you said, I think a lot of people didn't look that far out with Freed being the home opening starter, which I think if you asked Freed, he'd probably rather do that anyway. And honestly, just because he'd get to pitch in front of the fans. It's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to Plains Coffee or plainscoffee.com. That is, you got your chocolate hazelnut, you got your pecan pie, your turtle, your mocha, and even got teas in case you're a tea person. You can do that by going to plainscoffee.com. Enter the promo code Braves. Get your 10% off. Promo code Braves, plainscoffee.com. Oh, yeah, regular coffee, too. Lindsay will tell me that because I always get enamored with the flavored stuff. So be sure to head over to plainscoffee.com, enter that promo code Braves, and get your 10% off. All right, let's stay with pitching here. We talked about Elder headed back to AAA. Well, it looks like Lopez is going to get that nod as far as that number five guy in the rotation for the Braves. And do you think that's deservedly so? His last outing wasn't the greatest in the world, but, you know, I guess you're bound to have a bad day at some point.
Yeah, and he was pretty good up until that last outing in spring. And even there, just about all of the runs that Ronaldo Lopez has given up have been solo home runs. And while it's a little worrying that, like, all, you know, the four runs are all solo home runs, because obviously if there's more guys on base, that ends up being a lot worse for you. No, I think this is more about the flexibility that this gives you. We've kind of talked about this before, But Brian Snicker confirmed that it's just much easier to stretch him out now in spring and move him to the bullpen later. From a workload perspective, trying to manage his innings, as well as the logistics of actually getting the guy stretched out in season when the games matter every day, this makes a lot more sense. Because typically, if you want to stretch a guy out mid-season, you either send him to the minors, meaning you don't have that guy to use for a couple weeks, or you start throwing him in multi-inning stints out of the bullpen and you just kind of build that up over time. And either way, it affects things in season. And Brian Snicker, talking to the media, acknowledged that, like, yeah, that's a big part of this. The big question for me, I feel a little bit better about his velocity now. He's kind of averaging, his most recent starts, he's ticked back up to around 95 or so. He'll hit 96 sometimes. When he started back in 2018 and 2019, he averaged 95.5 miles an hour in his fastball for both seasons. So I feel good about where the velocity sits. The question for me is going to be, what kind of workload do you see him take on? In those two seasons, he pitched 180 innings in both seasons, but I don't think that's a realistic jump from his 60 and change last year. And so I'm assuming it's going to end up being around 100 or 110 innings. And the question here is, how many of those are as a starter before you end up having to move him to the bullpen? All of the projection systems kind of have him for 15, 16 starts, and then you move him to the bullpen for the rest of it, simply because you can't let him go 30 starts having not thrown more than 60-something innings in the last couple seasons. So I think he could, I think at best, he could give you an ERA in the mid to high threes and probably give you 100 or 110 innings. Question's going to be, how many of those will be starts? How good will the ERA be in the starts versus relief? And if you do that, is he still available late in the year and effective out of the pen when you get to October if he's already almost double what last season's innings were?
I don't want to call it a bullpen game, but this comes across as him being the fifth starter, is him at least Atlanta getting four innings, if not five, out of him in a game, and then turning it over to the pen and get a couple of innings out of a guy, or get maybe an inning and a third out of a guy and an inning and a third out of another guy before you bring in the closer. So it's almost like they'll treat it like a bullpen game. He just will get more innings than your typical bullpen pitcher would get. And I think that that's maybe the direction they're going, especially with him being that five guy, because, you know, if Strider continues to look like he does, Fried does what he does, Morton does what he, you know, all those guys do what they do and go six, seven innings, your bullpen's not going to be used that much. So on that fifth start, it could be a glorified bullpen game, except your starting pitcher, instead of being a bullpen guy, is going to give you four or five innings.
Yeah. Now, the thing to be mindful of there is Chris Sale is in a similar position of, you probably want to safeguard his workload. He can handle a little bit more. I mean, he did 110 or so last year. He can handle more innings. Right. But you're in a similar situation of, you have two guys where five and dive may be what you do with these guys. And so twice a week, can your bullpen pick up four innings, with the caveat of, you're probably going to have somebody every other week get blown up and have to leave early too. And so, one of the concerns that I have, I guess, with this whole thing, and this is not bad, this is just kind of talking this out loud, is you don't have a lot of options from your guys in the bullpen. And by options, I mean minor league options where you can send a guy to right. AAA. And so if you have two guys in your rotation that you have to give, we're going to say, extra bullpen support for, because they may have to come out early in Sale and Lopez, how long can you realistically keep doing that and still have maximum effectiveness from your bullpen? I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't necessarily know how much Jackson Stevens is going to have to get used in, you know, a two or three inning stint once or twice a week. But it's definitely something to watch for. Again, this team has a ton of rotation depth in AAA. You could roll out a six deep rotation in AAA with Waskar Yanoa in the bullpen and Ian Anderson still on the 60-day IL. Like, you have tons of rotation options, but the flexibility to move guys around outside of somebody being injured isn't really there. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I'm watching for and what I'm curious about.
Yeah, I, for some reason, with those two guys, I don't ever see them going past the sixth inning.
There's no reason to.
Yeah, there's no reason to. And if you did, honestly, with Lopez, if you went past the sixth inning very many times, I don't know that he could last to the end of the year. I mean, they would have to move him because he would – I think you talked about average being 95, probably goes to 92. And just because – I mean, he'll be – he hasn't pitched that many innings in the previous year. So that would be asking a ton of it if he had to do that. Hey, we were going to get to Drake Ball, and we can't do that today. But you can get to plainscoffee.com, and you can enter the promo code Braves, and you can get your 10% off by doing so. He's Lindsey Crosby. You can catch all of his written work at bravestoday.com. Lindsey, as always, I greatly appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, buddy.